Letters.
Letters on nuclear weapons, carry trades, American visas, war, sports, and Churchill's urinal.
Deterrence won't work.
From Melissa Park, Executive Director, International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, Geneva. America needs to enter an arms race with other nuclear-armed states to make the world safer by preventing further proliferation, you say. Article, The New Nuclear Threat, August 17th. Nothing could be further from reality. The more nuclear weapons there are, the more likely they will be used by accident, miscalculation, or mistake, not to mention deliberate use by an unhinged leader. The doctrine of deterrence is a theory unsupported by empirical evidence. The experience of the Cold War demonstrates that this doctrine led us to the precipice of nuclear destruction more than once. Deterrence requires keeping weapons ready to use at all times, given the risk of surprise attack, making mistakes much more likely. America already has the most powerful nuclear forces in the world, spending more than all the other nuclear-armed states put together. One Ohio-class missile submarine has the destructive power of 1,266 Hiroshima bombs. America has 14 of them. It is also carrying out a $2 trillion modernization of its nuclear arms. Instead of building up its arsenal, Washington should engage in concerted diplomacy and immediate risk reduction measures with the other nuclear-armed states. China may have broken off risk reduction talks because of America's arms sales to Taiwan, but America has refused to engage with China's proposal to agree to no first use of weapons.
Carry trade risks.
From Amy Huber, Assistant Professor of Finance, Wharton School, Philadelphia, and Yu Ahn, Assistant Professor of Finance, Johns Hopkins Carey School of Business, Baltimore. Billions or Trillions, article August the 17th, sensibly suggests that the spectacular unwind of the carry trade when investors borrow in a currency where interest rates are low and invest where returns are high calls for a better understanding of the foreign exchange FX market. However, the solution is hardly to simply collect more trading data in FX swaps. Foreign exchange traders can simultaneously buy and sell multiple currencies. Exposures in one currency can be quickly hedged or diversified by trading other currencies. In other words, just tallying who traded which currency will not reveal the true extent of carry trades. Not all sales of Japanese yen indicate positions in a carry trade, for example. Regulators need to dissect the risks inherent in FX trading. By sorting FX trades into those that dealers and hedge funds can easily diversify against those that represent non-diversifiable risks, we estimate that dealers and hedge funds accumulated about $0.8 trillion of exposure in carry trades between 2012 and 2023. Furthermore, we found that the Japanese yen is frequently used to fund positions that go long in both the American dollar and the euro, highlighting the importance of not conflating all short positions in the yen with carry trade exposures.
Congress must act on visas.
From Betsy Fisher, United States Director, Talent Beyond Boundaries, Minneapolis. There are additional problems with America's dysfunctional employment-based immigration system to the ones you mentioned. Article, Footloose and Fancy Degree, August 17th. There is a significant undersupply of employment-based visas across most visa categories, as evidenced by the low-odds lotteries for H-1B visas and years-long wait for qualified green card applicants. Also, visa categories are extremely narrow. Many employers find that no visa can reasonably help them with their hiring needs. And too many visas tie employees to their companies or fail to protect against exploitative working conditions. Moreover, there is no automatic bridge to a permanent status for workers, regardless of the length or nature of their service to employers, unlike in many other countries. All of these challenges point to the fundamental failure of Congress to pass meaningful legislation updating our immigration system. There are many marginal tweaks that an administration can make to help immigrants, their families, and would-be employers. Only Congress can expand the eligibility criteria and number of visas and the scope needed to tackle these problems, yet it seems unable to look beyond questions of border security.
Satirical wars.
From Keith Carlson, Belmont, Massachusetts. Your review of Richard Overy's Why War mentioned that there are many books on the seemingly intrinsic necessity for mankind to engage in violent conflict. Article Fight Club, August the 10th. Two other literary references come to mind. Jonathan Swift's Big Endians and Little Endians in Gulliver's Travels, a pair of tribes warring over which end of a hard-boiled egg should be cracked first, and Report from Iron Mountain, a satire from 1967, purporting to leak a government study preparing for a supposed lasting period of peace. It was a parody of a think tank report, concluding that a constant state of war is necessary not only for scientific and medical breakthroughs, but for social stability and well-being.
Learning from defeat.
From Martin Flash, London. Bartleby's column on what Olympians can teach executives, article August 10th, omitted the most useful lesson that sportsmen and women can give to business: the ability to start again after experiencing defeat in competition. The competitive spirit is vital to any successful business, as many leaders have acknowledged in their hiring choices.
The Battle of Churchill's Loo.
From Duncan Wilson, Chief Executive, Historic England, London. We disagree that the debate over removing Winston Churchill's urinal from a toilet in Britain's Treasury building means that Britons have a hang-up with heritage. Article We Will Fight Them, August the 17th. Crucially, 93% of people agree that local heritage raises their quality of life. We have not been involved with this case, but as a general rule, we work with owners and local authorities to manage sensitive development to listed buildings. There are many examples of how heritage has a positive role to play in economic development and regeneration, from the former Bird's Custard Factory in Birmingham, now a thriving creative zone, to the converted mills of Ancoats in Manchester.
From Eric Thompson, Poinciana, Florida. If the room where the urinal is located also includes a toilet, why would Rachel Reeves, the new Chancellor of the Exchequer, think of getting rid of it? Urinals are greener as they use less water. Some older men find they need to stand to fully empty their bladder. Is this a case of misandry?
From Alex Fine, Washington, D.C. That a urinal causes such hand-wringing today would have delighted Marcel Duchamp a century ago. In 1917, the artist unveiled Fountain, an otherwise ordinary porcelain urinal, as his masterpiece. Duchamp lauded his piece as an ordinary object elevated to the dignity of a work of art by mere choice of an artist. Churchill and Ms. Reeves, chancellors exactly 100 years apart, have together elevated another humble urinal to mythical status.